beautiful addition to their home. And will you, brother, come and say a few words to the congregation, 5-10 minutes, and give us a briefing of how the Lord has blessed.
We're happy to be here. We got here Wednesday, and so the main goal in coming was to show off our new Simeon. The parents, my parents, hadn't seen him yet, but we're thrilled to be here to see our friends and the churches that think about us, that pray for us. Where we've been in the last year, we've been in Toulouse, which is in southern France, not too far from, in between the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. And I've been working with a church there. I'm an assistant pastor alongside of another French pastor. And the Lord has been blessing the work. We are very rejoiced. The French people are hard nuts to crack.
We pray. And fortunately, God is greater than the human heart, and He can change it, and He's doing that. It's amazing to see the power of the gospel transform lives as people understand what Christ is doing. I was reading in Isaiah the other day, and I was encouraged. This might go in line with what Pastor will teach in a few minutes. Isaiah 2, it's, of course, he's talking to the nation of Israel who's been in sin and arrogance and pride. And he says, "The Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low, against all the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the uplifted hills, against every high tower, and against every fortified wall. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. In that day mankind will cast away their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to enter the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliff, before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of His majesty, when He rises to terrify the earth. Stop regarding man in whose nostril is breath, for of what account is he?" And that's part of the message that we would like to tell them. The French people, who, like me, like Americans, tend to be a haughty, arrogant people with the different technologies. They have their tower, the Eiffel Tower. They have their, we left at the same day that the new, the big A380 took off. We live in front of the airport, so we could see it doing the test. And then the day our plane took off, he took off too. And that's one of their glories these days. I hope it doesn't turn out to be a Titanic or anything. But how do you touch a people like that who have the best of technology, the riches, everything? And we warn them that the Lord has a day against all pride, against all human confidence. But for now, there's a refuge in Christ before His wrath is inflamed, and people will want to seek the caves and the caverns to hide in them. And we rejoice to be able to proclaim that message and to see what God is doing. So thank you for thinking about us and praying for us. And it's a joy to be here.
And I know that young people, the little ones, they want to participate in the pastor
choir, the 479. So this is the time to do it. I think it's 479. All those, do we have enough little ones to come in and honor the pastor with that 479? Jesus loved me. All right, and we got to pay. Come on. 2, 3, 4. The pastor even has to be able to sing with us. All right, Jimmy, let's come in. Okay. We all sing together, okay?
It's a special choir. Jesus loved me. Yes, I know. Okay, here we are.
Thank you.
other twice. We have one who is ill over there, and maybe needs some coaching. All right. It's a long day, I tell you. It's a miracle that I wait. All right. Another son of prayer. Brother, okay, go ahead.
394.
394. One is answer 394, then we go to Tricia. The big Tricia is about 394. The big Tricia will be your sister. All right. Sensitive to our own nature, we are. All right? And Tricia, tell me.
163
will be our last song here. Is anybody who went to Pacific Hill to give a brother, Ralph, you went to Pacific Hill?
Oh, yeah.
And that was good?
Oh, yeah. Yes, there's 31 people there.
Wow. So. Fantastic. This is our 10th year on Pacific Hill. And God bless us. We got the ministry of Pacific Hill at 2 o'clock because no church in this area wants to preach to the elderly. And it's a very good, remarkable praise. You need to have $5,500 a month to be with the elderly, to be there in that room. It's very good. They bought the piano as soon as we came in. They put a nice room and we became their church. They called me pastor. Come here, we have talked to somebody who is ill, who is dying. It's just amazing. A few blocks from here, 2 o'clock, they expect the fair. Their church, they call it, to preach. And it has been a mission field for us and a trainer of preachers. Like Russ now is find a place over there, Russ in Idaho, a preacher over there. He has been good. People love Russ over there. And now Brother Greg is taking Russ' replacement as Russ is plan eventually to move to Idaho. It's just beautiful how some people need church grew to express their gift and use it in that center. So we're going to sing this song with great joy. The number again?
163.
Open my eyes. The eye. Amazing. That way you are in informed that we're going to do a very intelligent, wonderful vacation Bible.
You'll find these flyers back on the table in the kitchen. This is a brochure about our upcoming music camp. It's not really a vacation Bible school, it's a music camp. A week of learning a musical called United We Stand. It's a presentation on God and country. And we will be meeting from Monday, June 27th through July 1st, Friday, from 9:30 to 1:30. We hope to have a good group of 25, 30, 35 children here to learn the musical and participate in classes around music, classes like crafts, hand chimes, learning keyboards, fife and drum, drama and voice, and sign language. These are some of the things that we're hoping to teach. The children will be allowed to choose the classes that they're most interested in, and then we will be designing which classes we're doing according to interest. And our presentation will be on the next Sunday, July 3rd, in the evening service. The kids will perform for you the musical we learned that week. And we're hoping that this can be an outreach to some of our community, as well as minister to our own kids. So this is our first year trying this. It's kind of like flying blind because we don't quite know where we're going or how we're going to do it or what the response will be, if we'll be completely overwhelmed or how we'll handle it. But we know God can take care of this. So please take brochures if you know people who would be interested in attending, kids from preschool to high school, all age groups. And these will be in the back, so thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Those who live here in the area, we have neighbors that have children, and we will be able to visit them and share with them. And if you have some who live here close by, that will be also proper. I want to turn off two lights so that you can see on the screen. Actually, I would like Anthony to pick up all the notes in the back and pass one note to each of you. Whatever you see on the screen is going to be down there in the notes. And the most important screen is your Bible, as you open your Bible in Revelation chapter 6. We have been there here before, but now I pick up, I thought with great acceleration, going into Revelation, but there are a lot of missionaries coming in during this month and so on. So I will be doing one Sunday or two, and then missionary, and then back over there. But I'm really excited about this. Now, we are on Revelation chapter 6, as you can see on the screen. And just to give you some background information, you can see that I divided very simply chapter 1 is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have not divided this to my own criteria, but to God's criteria. If you move your Bible to Revelation 1 and verse 1, the Bible opens in Revelation 1 and in verse 1 with the words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you look Jesus in Revelation 1, it's just the opposite of Jesus in Matthew 1 and 2. In Matthew 1 and 2, you have a baby born almost under the permission of the Roman Empire, hiding from everybody. But in Revelation chapter 1, you have a giant king presented with glory and with honors and with power and so on. If you really ever want to have a great picture of Jesus, just don't be afraid to read 100 times Revelation 1. And finally, it will get to your head that here it is, my Christ today. The Christ of Matthew 1 and 2 was the Christ that came as promised, according to the promise, to save, as a lamb. But now we no longer have a lamb, we have a lamb plus a king, and a king of kings, which is just amazing. And we went through that for months in detail, and they are there. I think they are in the archive. If not, you can talk to us. Our chief here will tell you. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are about the churches, and as a revelation of the churches. know one church, but all the characteristics of the churches. Revelation 2:1 says, unto the angel, unto the pastor, or messenger of the church of Ephesus, and on and on and on. And this morning we mention a verse in Revelation 3:17. Remember when I talked to you about the first beatitude, that unless we are brokenhearted, we cannot start with God. In this church, in Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Now, if somebody tells me this to me, I get offended. But God told it to the entire church. It is amazing. In other words, there is no longer to play church. Now, America Sunshine gave me this morning at the end of the service two papers to review for her daughter, because there is a new church in the area, and see if it's good. As I read the paper, it was a Presbyterian church. I was shocked that there is more, like Jesus said, like God told our prophet, that you are not alone, there are 7,000 with you. I mean, that church is off. They use the old hymn books, and they do this. He said, we are not competing in the area. We want to praise God and see who God will save. I tell you, that's the way it is. We go in the internet, we go in the tape ministry, we go in the radio ministry, we go in the auditorium and see what God, who God will save. For 2 years, I chat and mumble with the people on the coffee shop. I put Leo on one side. He's in Spanish, Mexican. He never listened. Leo is here. His wife is here. His grandson is here. I'm preaching to these people, but God was preaching to him. And he said, I go to church. You? You know? It's just, you know, fantastic. This is not the first time it happened to me. One time I was praying in the hospital to a person. So I stopped praying. And the nurse outside said, can I talk to you? Amazing. I was talking to him, but God was talking to the nurse outside. So I heard the gospel before, but now I understand it. It's just so beautiful. God gave the revelation of the church. We have a job to do, no competing job, a job of faithfulness to his word. And we do it. And we see no fruit for a while, and we see only mountains. But God is there, and we keep on doing the work. And then from chapter 6 to chapter 19, the revelation of what I call God's agenda. God repeats himself three times in Revelation, and he repeats from the number 1 to 7, and then 1 to 7, 1 to 7. What he does, he tells us today, day number 1. And then in about a few chapters, he expanded day number 1. And in about a few more chapters, he revealed full number 1. All right? And he goes like this and this and this. But this world, which a missionary has expressed already, feels free and powerful. I read all the articles on the 380, the flu, and the capable of 1,000 people to fly and so on, and landing with perfection automatically and so on. Man is receiving from God the gift of knowledge. And God gave that gift to use it for his glory. But man used it for his own glory. America goes back and forth to the moon like somebody go to San Francisco, all right? It's just amazing. I tell you something. God has given us a revelation of himself and a revelation of this world, so this world will pay attention. And those that God will say will pay attention, and God will bring it into the kingdom. And so it's good to have the revelation of God's agenda. What God will do first? And what God will do second, all right? So, we go now to the key thought. Remember the key thought that God gave us? The first and second coming of the Lord catches each other by means of events. They are not too separated. When you study Revelation, the first coming of Jesus and the last coming of Jesus, not too far. They're just fulfilling God's plan, day by day. There is a key process. One event began and finished, touching the beginning of the other, till the end comes. Till the end comes. And then the key understanding is this. The chapter set before us, six events, one following the other, till the end comes. And they will do over and over and over like that. I have read Revelation the 100 times, and I learned that the chapter tell you day one, day two, day three, day four, five, seven, and then again, one, two, three, four, five, and seven, and it's expanding and expanding and expanding until you have a clear vision of the understanding of Revelation. So let's open today page one in God's agenda, okay? Verse one and verse two. I read Revelation 6, verse one and verse two. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, and it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. I'm going to say this many times, but I say it now openly. The Bible doesn't say come and interpret. Come and see. When you look and I say, come and see, what do you see? A book. You cannot say, well, a book is made of many pages and it's black. Come and see. That's how simple the revelation. Come and see. Don't try to make the number four, number five. Don't try to make a lamb a dog. No, come and see. And that's what people have done. And some of the things we see, I will confess to you, I don't know. And if I don't know, I tell you. But we make a mess when we're trying to interpret, when God said, don't interpret, see. Now, verse 2. And I saw, this is John writing, and behold, a white horse. Is that clear? What's a white horse, Anthony? A white horse. Let me see if I write like the child this morning, you know. I get great things when I ask questions. All right, what's a white horse? A horse is white. All right, that's good. Very intelligent. He has brain, all right? A horse is white. Okay, is that right, Russell? It's good. Good definition, all right? And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went for conquering and to conquer. All right, let's look on it. I have on the screen first, one, Jesus Christ is called. Look at verse 1. I saw when the Lamb opened the book. Jesus Christ is called. Now, what's the Lamb? Oops, I wrong. What is that Lamb over there? You see, Jesus is called. The figurative section over there of Christ. All right, we go and see. All right, you cannot interpret, you have to see. So we go to John chapter 1 and verse 29. Who is the Lamb? John chapter 1 and verse 29. The Bible says, the next day, talking about John the Baptist, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So that's figurative language, because Jesus has two legs and lambs do not have legs. Is that right? And so Jesus said, I am a door. Doesn't mean that he was hanging in some place. He's in a figurative form, all right? And so therefore, when Revelation 6 and verse 1 said, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, you have to understand that it's talking about the Christ as a person. And then also, the Christ work is revealed in 1 Peter. If you move your Bible, I give you the reference on the screen in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 19. 1 Peter 1 and 19, you will see that we were saved by the Lamb, but with the precious blood of Christ. Verse 18 tells you that for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We are not saved by tradition. Roman Catholicism, one of their articles of faith written by the Pope, that is now the Pope, is that the interpretation of your salvation is the Bible, and his tradition is the cathedra. That means the people who are the cardinals who tells you what to believe. The Bible says here, we are not saved by tradition. But how are we saved? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without a spot. Now the Jewish people will understand this perfectly, and they get upset when they hear that, because they think that a ceremonial, sacrificial lamb is what saved them. But they don't understand that that was a ceremony to point out to the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we see in page one is that Jesus Christ is called. Now, no Peter. And I told all the Catholics there in the coffee shop, Peter was not called, and was the choir director of the church, the Catholic church here. So, oh, this bologna of the Protestants. This is no bologna of the Protestant. This is the Bible, I told him. This is what it is. No Peter was called to start the church. God started in Christ Jesus. All right? That's how it is. Okay? So the first point you see over there, Jesus Christ is called. The second point is that Jesus Christ is called to reign. It's called to reign. Look at here in verse 1 said, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now, what are the seals? All right, here explained in chapter 5. I read for you chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. The seals are explained over there. And no man in this universe, the seals are seals from the time of Daniel. And I don't go back to that because you remember I taught you that when I studied the detail. I remember Daniel was a smart cookie. Well, God made him smart. And he started asking questions. And God knew the mind of Daniel. That brilliant Jewish prophet was asking questions related to God's plan, and he will put it together. And so God said, Daniel, shut the book. Remember? Daniel, shut up the book until I tell you. Now, here's the time where the book is open. Now, there is one man in this universe who said, the book was open to me. He's wrong. The book was open to Jesus. I read it for you. Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written and on the backside sealed with seven seals. So we have a scroll, and the scroll was attached with a seal. And I saw, verse 2, a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? So there is a process, two process. First, you have to open the book. First, you have to open the seals, and then you have to open the book. Now, who is worthy to know what's going on? Verse 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. What's able is a rough translation for saying was not worthy to open the book. There were no granted unto any man on this earth in all this time to open the book. And of course, look at what John did in verse 4. We will do that because, we are without information. And I wept much because no man was found worthy. You see, that's the word that relate to be able to open or to read the book, neither to look thereon. And John is in desperation. How do we will know what God will do? Well, verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So, who is the one? Number one, there are two indications from the book of Isaiah of Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, and Isaiah 11. But the word prevail, give you an idea, have prevailed. Where did Jesus prevail over Satan? At the cross. Jesus prevailed at the cross. When Jesus, the resurrection came about, that is not a fantasy of the Christian church. The resurrection is the seal of our victory. Jesus prevailed. Now, he's King of Kings. Well, if you want to know, let's put one hand here and let's go to Romans chapter, I think it's 4:2 or 1:2. Let me see where Jesus was declared the Son of God with Romans 1. Is that right, brother? Romans 1:2, I think. Romans 1:4. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 1:4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead brought a total victory. And now Jesus Christ is a king. The seals was the one who opened the seals, they charge. Imagine if a human being will open the seals and knew the secrets of God, that person will control the world. And so the only person that controls this world are not the Chinese, not the American, not the French, is Jesus. Because he opened the seals and he knows what went on, what is going on now, and what will be on tomorrow morning. All right? Now, in verse 1, Jesus Christ is noticeable because he's at the end, they said, come and see. And as I said before, no speculations, no figures of speech. When people teach a revelation, they say, well, this means this and the other mean this, and then you put it with this. And after they do four or five comparisons, you are so dizzy, you don't know what they're saying anymore. And then you have to wait for the answer. So I believe what he said. But I don't want you to do that. I want you in Revelation to see, because you want to see 14 times more. Come and see. Come and see. So that nobody trusts the figures of somebody else. You have to see it by yourself. So Jesus Christ is called to reign. He's in control. Day number one. Until the resurrection, the world, remember at the end of the Judges, the world was in chaos because there was no king on this earth. It was a disorder. In the times of David, he had to fight with the Philistines, and he had to find out what God wants next, and on and on and on went on. Jesus is born, and the Romans take control of Jerusalem, and the powerful Roman Empire makes a mess of Israel and so on, and then Israel received the Messiah, ignore him, and so on. So that's not the end one. The end one, day one of the end, is the day of the resurrection. That's day number one. All right. That's day number one in God's agenda. Now, I want you to see that Jesus Christ is ready. Verse 2 said, and I saw, in Revelation 6:2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. Jesus Christ is ready. I saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went for begging. No, sir. He went for conquering. So now, let's do this. Let's check the prophecies in Psalm 45 with me about this business of going with a bow. Psalm 45 in verse 3 and verse 5. Psalm 45. In verse 3 and verse 5. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. And so look at verse 5. Thy arrow are sharp in the heart of the king's enemy, whereby the people fall under thee. And so it's talking about Jesus Christ is ready. He is not going to beg, would you like to be saved? Would you like the kingdom of God? From now on, he will say, thou one, thou one, thou one, thou one, thou one. And that's why we surprise ourselves when we see people saved. Somebody that you witnessed years ago and is like a rock, like a missionary said, hard people to reach. Like a rock. We all know a rock. We are all like that. And hard to reach. And they call you and say, you know, I found the Lord. You say, how in the world? Well, actually, the Lord found him and let him know that he's one of God's children by the preaching of the word. The gospel was offered. A tract was given. Somebody told him. And finally, God break that person in. And they say, oh, yeah, I believe. Isn't that fantastic? Why? Because Christ is ready. He's now doing the job of the evangelist. He is our evangelist. When we preach the word, when we share the word, when we witness to somebody, there is a greater evangelist than yourself, Christ Jesus. And if Christ is in that person, he will pursue it. Now, verse 2, Jesus, Christ is conquering. Look at the end. Is conquering, he said, and went for conquering to conquer. Now, a crown was given, said the Bible. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter of the resurrection, in verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 25, the glorious chapter of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. A crown was given. He must reign. He must reign till all his enemies are put under his feet. And you know what is the last enemy, remember? Death is the last enemy, because in heaven will be no more death. Now, he conquered Satan's kingdom from his seat. And there is a picture here in Matthew chapter 12 that I want you to see. I think I put it over there. I don't know if I did. In Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 24. There is a picture how Jesus explained his work now from day one in the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 12, and I would like to start reading from verse 24. Look carefully. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub," that is the Arabian name for Satan, "by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Actually, it's an Aramaic name. So the people were following Jesus, saying, "Hey, he's doing a great miracle. He's doing great things. He's a man of God." And they say, "Oh, no, he's not God. He's doing this for the devil." Now there are two kingdoms in this world. It's no America and China. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. That's what it is. That's how simple is the world. All right? And the Jew understood that and said, "This fellow doesn't have the power of healing the demons from the kingdom of God, but the power comes from the kingdom of Satan." Now look at the explanation in verse 25. "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." In other words, if you divide yourself, you die. "And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" He said, you see what you are saying? Verse 27, "And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges." But, verse 28, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." You see that? "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he's first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" This explains the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, win the victory over Satan. And therefore, because he win the victory over Satan, then he limited Satan, and who can he hold into his house? It's like Jesus has now the keys of Satan's kingdom. And he goes over there, open the door and get one. Open the door and get one. Satan don't have any keys and can go to any kingdom. But Jesus now is conquering to conquer. Day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, second after second, Jesus is doing the work of a conquering. He goes into Satan's kingdom. That's what we believe before. He goes into Satan's kingdom and take one and take the other and take the other as we preach the gospel over the airs of in the church, as you witness in your work, as you witness in your neighbors, as you share the love of God with people. Jesus is getting the hands busy. You don't have to go and cast devils. Jesus will cast them. Jesus is the one who goes in and get them out and get it out for you. So he is conquering to conquer. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, who put the whole thing really together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. All right? Thessalonians, here we are. Colossians 1 and verse 13, and you will see how wonderful it's explained for us. Talking about Jesus said, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, that's another word for Satan, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's what God has done. He has, in Colossians there, he has done this. He has translated us and moved us from the kingdom of God into these remarkable and wonderful, that remove us from the kingdom of Satan into the remarkable kingdom of God. That's the work that, that Christ is doing on day number one. The first day when he started, he keep on doing that. But the first day, the inauguration day, was not sitting in a chair and receiving a golden ring, was busy going and conquering to conquer. Now, here is my conclusion in God's agenda. Matthew 24:14, you don't have to look. I put it right there for you. Here is the message for us as we understand God's agenda. Jesus came, and Jesus going conquering to conquering, and we are his soldiers. The Bible said clearly, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is our work. This is our work. Jesus is now our general in chief. He is in charge of saving the people. We are in charge of proclaiming his kingdom. We don't have to battle anybody. We don't have to conquer anybody. We don't have to break the neck of anybody. Our choir has to sing as conservative as Maryland can make it. All right? Because I don't want junk. Now, these coming few Sundays, we're going to have some people who have been saved by the grace of God, and they have a more light music, and I invite them to come, and they beg me to come, and I said, please come for 15 minutes. But I asked Marilyn, you just got your choir over there, because I want, before God, I don't want to be guilty of anything, all right? And these people are our guests. They are their mission. They go into their camps, grounds, and so on, and save people who are in drugs, and so on, and I admire their work, and it's nice to give them a break right here in church. But I tell you, as a church body, we represent no junk. We represent the King of Kings. And when we represent the King of Kings, we do it properly. And when we do it properly, then the King works. We maybe don't see somebody saved for a month, and maybe we don't see somebody baptized for a month. Then people do the ministry by saying, how many baptized last Sunday? Who cares how many baptized last Sunday? How faithful. Remember the scripture. It is required that a steward be found not successful, but faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Be found faithful. The same for us. We have to control ourselves. And we have to share our most self-control. I think self-control is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Galatians 5:23. Is the key gift. Because God put us in the spots that, why, you can blow it. When I was in the airport in Mexico with that toxic thing going all around, and we all log in, Raquel grabbed my thing and said, cool off. So I just walk outside. It was more smoke outside than inside. And I thank God that I met the manager of Nob Hill over there. And I look on it, and he's this bald head. I said, I know this bald head. I said, and we started talking in English and rejoicing. Because you have to watch out. Everybody knew I was a bastard. And so I became a leader. I started saying, let's have a song. And we had songs and things and applause and until they gave us money to eat and go out to get out of the place for a while. We have to watch out ourselves. You are on the spot every second, every minute. Because you are not working for your company. You're not working for yourself. You are representing the King of Kings. And if we do a good testimony, he then penetrates and work in that person. It is no great. Day number one in the kingdom of God is right there at the cross. Jesus is lifted up. Remember John 3? He will be lifted up. Jesus is lifted up. And now he's no longer the baby in a manger. He is the King of Kings and glory of glory. And he's saving people from the kingdom of Satan. He penetrated the kingdom of Satan. You and I cannot penetrate it. But he can penetrate the kingdom of Satan, as Matthew 12 said, and grab the people and put it right into his kingdom. And according to this verse, we have to witness till the end comes. And we will find out what events and things we expected. It's no good news. It's every day worse. But he will come, and he will take us into place. Is there any question that you have before we close in prayer? Well, I guess that was a good teacher. No question. All right. Let's pray together. Father, we knew the things. All of us here at Bethel, we study so much the Bible that we knew this. But it's good to refresh ourselves that we have a king in charge. And to him only was revealed the secrets of heaven. So when somebody comes and write books and tell us that that person had a revelation, no, we know that that's not right. So help us to look upon you. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the revelation that the mysteries of heaven are in the hands of God. And thank you that day number one was not an inauguration of a king of the earth. It was an inauguration giving a work to Jesus, conquering to conquer. Lord, that encouraged me to witness day in and day out. That encouraged me to keep on going in the coffee shop and tell them about the love of God and the passion of God and the seriousness of God. Because one day somebody else, and Lord, there are four or five people listening now on the radio. Lord, you are great. Thank you that you give us a church small enough to understand this. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to shine in this building. We have to shine in the cathedral of our body so that people may see Christ. Oh, help us, oh God, we're weak. Help us that we may shine to your glory. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. God bless you. All right.